Lex Morgan has been a senior producer for Latin America for World Christian Broadcasting for the past 7 years. After a mission tour in Papua New Guinea, Rex and Brenda and their family settled in South Florida, where he has been, where he has spent about 30 years or more than that in Latin America missions. In addition to preaching and teaching, he has specialized in mass media evangelism, utilizing both radio and television. Rex and Brenda have 3 children and 8 grandchildren. F.H. Gates and his wife Becky have 2 children and 4 grandchildren. They served as missionaries in Brazil from 1979 to 2012. Their focus was in church planting, leadership training, radio and television production, and the establishment of the Belo Horizonte. I know how to speak Spanish. Portuguese. Children's Home. F.H. currently works as the family minister for the Highland Heights Church of Christ in Lebanon, Tennessee, but continues to make short-term missions to Brazil. So we welcome these two, and we welcome all of you to here.
Well, we're really excited that you're here with us today, and we're just going to share some of our experiences about Latin America and what we're trying to do to reach Latin America. And, you know, God is totally humorous, because you look at the two of us and you, what's the first thing you think? Latin America. I just love God's sense of humor, and the way we'll share how we've crossed paths over the years. And, you know, God has just been so good, the relationship that we've had over the years. Some of these room in the room here even knew when we were in Papua New Guinea that we worked with as well. And we're just glad everyone's here with us. And I do want to say with that that I don't speak as a Latin American. I mean, I have a brother, Roberto, here that is with us. And he is an elder in the church in Southern California. And I'm going to talk about perspective of Latin America. He would probably be the better one to speak about that. But we as North Americans that choose and feel called by God to reach Latin America, you know, that is a true calling, whether it's a neighbor that comes into your neighborhood and moves in next door, or from Miami into all of Latin America, or God calls you to Brazil. You know, so we have this this heart condition, you know, that is just, that we love Latin America. You know, he's taken to me some of the neatest restaurants in Brazil, because we've traveled together some in Latin America, and let you say a few words about your culture and a little bit of your background.
Well, I was first an exchange student to Brazil when I was a junior in high school, back in 19 Adam and Eve. So I wasn't a Christian at the time, but I lived for a year with a Brazilian family, and they couldn't speak English, and I couldn't speak Portuguese. And I was getting really hungry, so I started learning Portuguese. And at first, you know, it was slow and it was hard. But after a year, I didn't want to come back to the United States. I adapted so well and learned to love the country and the people. And I came back to the States and finished high school and started college. Became Christian, involved in the church, and decided I wanted to preach. And I felt called to use the gifts and talents and abilities God gave me to come back to Brazil. And so... Actually, my children are all Americans and Brazilians. They have dual nationalities. My daughter-in-law and son-in-law have dual nationalities. My grandkids all have dual nationalities. And we lived in Brazil longer than we ever lived in the United States. So we've been back 4 years. We came back because of family issues with my in-laws needing help and stuff. But I just love the Brazilians, and some of the greatest people on earth. You know, so I know you'd want to argue with that, but it's true.
Well, we all envision Latin America kind of like this, and you know, the Argentines are real proud because the Pope is Argentinian. You know,
but Brazil is Brazilian. But Brazilians always say that God is Brazilian.
So you know, we have our fun between the different cultures of Latin America. Our unique situation is that when we moved back to Miami, when we returned from Papua New Guinea, that we discovered Latin America had arrived to Miami. So all of a sudden, you know, we started doing some church planting and trying to actually, you know, cross the culture. So we've come from New Guinea back to Miami, and here comes you know, all these different cultures have merged together. And a new Jerusalem for us, I mean, it was a Jerusalem of culture and continued to grow that way. And we began to learn a little bit about national pride between the different nations that we see here on this map that had come into South Florida, not just the Cuban community. A lot of people think, well, Miami, they equate it with Cuban community, okay? Well, every Sunday for many years when we were preaching there and teaching, our audience was made up of about 180 people from about 18 different nationalities of Latin America every Sunday. So as we try to communicate the gospel of Christ to Latin Americans, we have to be careful how we're not using colloquialisms, things that are offensive in one country, but not in another. So a lot of those things you have to be really careful with when you have an audience like we had in Miami. But I really started to see that the national pride that each country had when we had our very first Christmas party, and Brenda and I were like, all right, let's plan this up, and let's ask them, do y'all use piñatas, you know? And all of a sudden they're saying, you know, one's saying, yeah, let's get a piñata, and, you know, Cuban's saying, got to get a Cuban piñata because, you know, it has the ribbons that come down here, and you pull the strings, and the Guatemalans were saying, no, you got to have the Guatemalan one because it's got the pot in the middle. When you hit it, it pops a certain way. And the Costa Rican would say, no, the ours is better. And I was like stuck back in New Guinea in the tribal discussions about how to have a feast. Some of you understand that, you know. So there's a lot of national pride. And it's not just from Spanish to Portuguese or Portuguese to Spanish. And I don't even think Brazil considers themselves as Latin American.
Not typically, at least not Latino. I don't know why. What that? Because I don't know what that means. But they
got their national pride. Yeah. So anyway, it's just a very, very unique opportunity. So what we're trying to do today is really look into a little bit of their culture, look into a little bit of their background religiously and their background and then to see where they're going, and then what we can do, what we're trying to do to reach Latin Americans wherever they are in the world, because that's really what we're talking about. They're all over the world, and we'll cover a little bit about that. How, when, and why do we meet? I mean, start with mass media. You want to share that story?
Well, Rex, I'm not sure when you started, but you encouraged us a lot, and I had a dream, but when I saw your television program in Spanish, you know, I just really thought, why can't we do that in Portuguese? And you helped us get started, but we weren't able because it financially on our end was so difficult. But we eventually got into mass media and television. I'd done radio for 7 years, but when we first went to Brazil, the people were so receptive. The first year when we were there, we had 72 baptisms, and it was so exciting. But we're living in a city of 5 million people. That's bigger than half of the countries of the world. And so, like, yeah, we're growing and everything's going well, but we're not even making a splash. People don't even know we're here. So we started getting on the radio, but at the time we were renting an auditorium of the University of Economic Science, and they wouldn't let us use their address on our radio program, and it was complicated, and eventually we got into TV. But I wanted, you know, to be out there and sowing seed and people who are searching for God to know where to go. And you know, in John chapter 4, Jesus said to the disciples that you're reaping the labors of, or the fruit of the labors of others, verses 37 and 38. And I really see that's the importance of mass media, is because you can sow seed, you touch hearts. You never, hopefully I've learned that you never try to judge anybody. Because used to be, you know, I would think, oh, this person would be interested, I won't say anything, this person will be. You know, I finally got rid of that. Just tell everybody, sow the seed, share the news, and, you know, let that be between them and God. And some of the most unlikely people would show up at church. Oh, I've been listening to radio program or watching television. And we go, you know, travel different parts of the country, and people say, oh, I know you, you know. Just
oh, you're walking across the street out of the side of the airport when I was in Brazil with them, and there's a young teenager. We wonder who we're touching. Young teenager stops him in the middle of the crosswalk. You're F.H. Gates. You know, not that he's promoting himself, but the point is that we're getting the message out there. You know, and
that's exciting.
You know, that is exciting that we're touching the lives of a cross section of the population that we would never probably be able to reach. I mean, you know, look at us. you know, we're really out there with the young people, aren't we? But here's this young person. He's really connected with them. And I had to get him to cross the street, because if you know that page, he'll stop in the middle of the road and pray with them. You just have to be careful. But spreading the gospel across the country, who has been traditionally Catholic, okay, or many countries, culturally Catholic at least, and many of the governments actually rely and have very close ties with the Catholic Church, and laws put into place based on the religious beliefs and backgrounds. And this was something that we would even be impacted in Miami. We'd have a couple come to the Lord, and we believe they're married and they're baptized, and then we find out 5 years later they're asking us to do their wedding because it was illegal to have a divorce in their homeland because of the laws that were set up, you know, in that homeland. And so it does impact, you know, in different ways. The society there just so needed a way to spread the gospel. So when you go on television, one of the things that we had to do is never mention the Catholic Church. What we would do is we would just refer to the traditional religion if we mentioned it. But it was all very positive, and the sowing of positive messages and a magazine style of teaching, and then round table in the kitchen discussion, specifically chosen because guess where the heart of the home is in Latin America? In the kitchen, you know, it's in the kitchen. So here we are, you know, we're around the table in the kitchen, and we're sharing the gospel of Christ, and we have different people in around that table from time to time. And I got the biggest kick out of him saying, can we dub this into Portuguese, you know? And we did do one program like that.
I mean, we had professional people to dub it from Rio de Janeiro. It was great, but, you know, it's
very
just
costly.
It's too expensive.
And it wasn't Brazilian,
yeah.
You know, and that was very important for there. So we just felt like, you know, so in Spanish, with the Open Bible was the name of the TV program, on the air for 15 years across Latin America, 5 years across the United States on Dish Network, and, you know, I guess there's 75 congregations planted in the world that I've been told about, you know, through the use of television, our television program, and you probably have some stats too, but guess what? That television program now has all been, it's all right here, you know, and it's amazing what God is doing. You can go on your phone, and on your phone, you can just go, you can listen, you can watch, and you can share, you know, and you can share the gospel, share your faith with Latin Americans, okay, with any of those 137 TV programs, and then all the radio that we produce is all on this, your phone today, and so media has evolved, and where do we want to be in Latin America? What's the hardest thing to do? Is to get into the homes, you know, because, you know, you've got to know somebody. We talk about friendship evangelism, the importance of friendship evangelism, important of getting to know.
And nowadays, people are living in those high rises like Brazil's. You fly over São Paulo, it's about a half hour of all these high rises because people feel safer. See, even if it's a house, you still can't get to the, you know, they'll have an intercom system and everything. They've got bars and high walls and electric fences on, you know, so you can't go door knocking, you know, so.
So we want to penetrate the homes.
Yeah.
And speaking about, when I was in Barahona, Dominican Republic, they just had Hurricane Sandy. It come through there. And we're doing a campaign, like 8 hours down the highway. And I get there, and we're trying to get people to come in and be a part of the campaign. And they said, well, we really can't get out there. But there's a small congregation of the Lord's Church about 10 miles outside of town. And so, let's just have a little time together, a little devotional time together here, and we all gather together. None of them have computers in their home, but they all arrive with their smartphones. And guess what? They're all sitting around there with their smartphones, and they can all access the website. They have it right there on their phone, and they can push a button, and they're watching our TV program, and they're listening to the radio programs. And it's predicted that by the year 2020, 50% of the world's population will have a smartphone. And so we're trying to stay up with that and use other mediums to reach Latin America. We have a world to reach, and I have a partnering relationship where I'm the senior producer with World Christian Broadcasting, and they've been broadcasting to Russia, Chinese, and English, and that side of the world, and coming all the way across to this side of the world for 32 years. And now we're launching in Arabic and English, you know, Africa. And these are the things that we talked about the last couple of days. And look at the coverage that God is giving us in the world with the message. And so these messages we're trying to spread throughout the world and all of Latin America, every day. And our goal is to have Portuguese as well. And so we are dreaming and praying that we will have Portuguese broadcasting. But, you know, there's so much that influences our content. What would be some good messages maybe that we should be preparing for?
Well, typically Latin Americans have a Roman Catholic background. And I've never really met a Roman Catholic that was happy with the Roman Catholic Church, not even a priest. Everybody's dissatisfied, but it's like, well, is your family perfect? Well, mine's not either. You know, is your church? So even though they realize it's not everything they desire and want, but they really don't know what options, what exists. And typically in Latin America, if you're not a Roman Catholic, you're a Pentecostal, and they make a lot of noise and are seen, but people can see through a lot of that. You know, they're in Brazil, the Igreja Universal do Reino de Deus is like, it's just in every neighborhood in Brazil.
That is the universal church
of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
and you know, you pay for your blessing, and then you give money, and they'll, you know, it's just out to get people's money. It's so sad. So when they find out, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us that Jesus is the mediator between man and God, and they can have a relationship. They don't have to go through one of the saints or even Mary. You know, that they feel like, well, I can't bother God with just this. This is something too small. Or, you know, like if you ask the mother, the son will listen. So they have all these ideas. But when they find out they can have a personal, real, direct relationship with God through Jesus, you know, it's a blessing. It's an eye-opener. It changes everything. And then, of course, we involve, you know, in the church as a body of believers. So when they find other people and they begin having those relationships and seeing the difference God makes in our lives. Because before I became a Christian, I went to the Catholic Church for a year. And you go and you watch Mass and you go home. I mean, you know, punch a time card and you leave. But nobody talks to anybody. Everybody's strangers. But in the Lord's body, it's not like that. And you build relationships and fills that void. And it feels just right. You know you're in God's house. It's different.
Now, beyond Catholicism, there's Spiritism.
Yes.
You know, and can you share with us some of the... even the syncretism that takes place with Catholicism and some of the things that you deal with in Brazil.
The Spiritism has come from Africa at the early days of Brazil, and so the slaves were used to care for the slave owner's children, and so they would get close to them, but they weren't really allowed to do the Spiritism, so like they would have their god Iemanjá, you know, the goddess of the water, but they would call her Mary, and they would, you know, the Saint George, and they would kind of have these code words. So they really instilled that in the culture of Brazil. So, and even the Roman Catholic Church doesn't care if you practice Spiritism as long as you say you're Catholic. So, you know, every Spiritist is a Catholic. It's just when something's not quite right, you run down to the Spiritist Center, get a hex put on somebody, get one taken off, or there's an upper level Spiritism where you go and have a seance. Becky and I were on a plane, I don't know where we were going one day, we were talking to the stewardess, and she said, yeah, I had a daughter die when she was 4, but every Friday night I go to the, you know, Spiritist Center, and I talk to her, and I couldn't make it if it weren't for that and things. You know, so they're just, you know, that is just permeates. And we're not just talking about uneducated, backward, ignorant people. The president of Brazil, Fernando Collor de Mello, you know, back in the 90s, he had his personal... a medium to go with him wherever he went and helped him make decisions and, you know, get things done. So it permeates, you know, animism and superstition and a lot of things. But people are really happy to find out just biblical truth and understand and unlock these mysteries and see them for what they are. Mm.
You know, I thought I experienced everything when I lived in New Guinea, and a witch doctor came to our door and told us there were evil spirits going around our house, and he was there to take away those spirits. Of course, we told him that the Lord would take care of that. I got back to Miami, and all that he's talking about had arrived to Miami. Okay? And so, I mean, in the name of the Santeria religion, which is exactly what he's talking about here, what it was a syncretism of the African religion. It all came into the Caribbean through the time of slavery, and the newly arrived Cubans had come in. They had their versions of their saint statues in the front of their houses as statues and little houses there. And, you know, you could tell which one was a Catholic and which one was a Santeria. You would have the St. Barbara, you know, there with the tower that she where she was martyred, and then you would have her riding on a horse on the one next door or down the street, and that was the Santeria. And so what I decided to do, and think about this as you're considering your missionaries that come in, and they come to your door and you say, all right, what is the work that's really needed in the world? It was really easy for me to tell people I needed support to go and be a missionary on the other side of the world in Papua New Guinea. You know, but how do you get them to realize that we have the same problems, the same challenges that our people have in their lives coming from all of these nations and dealing with the Santeria cult? And when you're in Miami, I'm studying the language, studying Spanish at a Catholic university, and the Catholic priest comes in to lecture on Santeria, and you know what he says? You know, we accept that. We accept that. Why? To keep their roles intact. You know, and, you know, we're okay with that, you know. And really, it has just opposites in many different ways. So you know, dealing with that in South Florida, wherever you have a culture of Latin Americans, you can have many different types of religious background. And probably one of the fastest religions in Latin America right now is the Pentecostal church is growing. You know, we find by understanding some of these things that as we look at the content, there's a lot of atheism as well, just like there is in the United States. I mean, I work a lot in Cuba, and believe me, I mean, they grew up atheists, a lot of them. They can have culturally Catholic under one roof with atheists, with the evangelical style of Christianity, to a new convert of Christian, all under one roof. And so our messages that we prepare, like biblical archaeology, you know, who would think about that? That's one of the most popular segments that we have in Cuba, because you're speaking to the heart of an atheist that God does exist, all of this history is real, and it does show it. So, you know, we share those things in our radio, you know, Unforgettable Conversations with Jesus, Conversaciones Inolvidables de Jesus, you know, comes across, it's on the air, and written by Gail Crow over here, one of the greatest Latino minds in our brotherhood, you know. But anyway, he wrote those segments, and then we acculturated those segments for, you know, the people that we're trying to reach, Advice for Life. So what do we see? We have many other programs, but just in these particular, you know, letters to my children, a father writing letters to his children. Here's messages from a father to his children in a society very matriarch. You know, it's very very much the mother kind of takes a spiritual lead, but then the father, you know, speaking the best wishes of their son to follow the will of God, you know. And so we, you know, here we go again, the kitchen, cooking with the open Bible, really? Yeah, you cook, we got a professional chef, and he does this recipe, and then he starts talking about a message that relates to something that relates to the home. And, you know, so guess what? Most of those would be very applicable, wouldn't they? And are for the needs that we have in our homes and our society as well. But we're really trying to touch the hearts of Latin Americans and getting to some real life or true life, new program that we've got going. But that's really what we're wanting to do. We're wanting to communicate in a way, and I'll say this from my perspective and the way we do radio, in a way that the non-believer, someone that would not even walk into the church building, Catholic church, turns on his radio and says, hey, this is kind of nice, you know, join this. Why? He'll listen to a little Latino music, something that he relates to, something that he enjoys, and then he gets a little health tip, you know, something that really helps him, and then before you know it, you know, a little more music comes in, and then in comes, you know, a nice spiritual message. Remember when you used to wait for commercials? You used to have to sit through commercials, you know? So anyway, you know, listen to those spiritual messages. And every quarter hour, we offer them a free Bible course to send them to all of our content. And that gives them a great opportunity to hear the message.
Rex, the radio program I did before TV for 7 years. One of the men from the congregation was a professional radio announcer,
mm-hmm.
Locutor, whatever that is in English. But and so he'd have a 2-hour program on Saturday mornings from 10 to 12, and it had a theme every week, and people would call in and he'd ask a question, whatever. But at the end of the, and he would give away prizes for the people that called in chosen to receive the prizes, and he'd get sponsors from stores and things. But right before the prizes were chosen, people found out if they won or not, I would finish up the program with what the Bible has to say about that program. So, I mean, sometimes it was pretty hard, like the World Cup. What does the Bible say about the World Cup? That's not easy. That's not easy. But you can still get a message out.
Yeah, yeah.
But they would have to listen, mm-hmm. you know, through all the program to the end, and hear the important part anyway, to find out if they won or not. So we got a lot of callers.
Well, that is like one of the most important topics you can talk about in Latin America. Before I went to Brazil, to travel all over Brazil, a few years ago with FH to be educated, the whirlwind tour. You know, I mean, Brent and I kind of listen to some movies, you know, watch some movies that are in Portuguese, want to, you know, learn a little bit about Brazil. And so here is Romeo and Juliet. All right. In the context of soccer matches, in the context of a family. And all of a sudden, these two, they start dating. One is a cheerleader for the Corinthians. Now, that's not in the Bible, but that's, I mean, that is in the Bible, but it's a team called the Corinthians. Somewhere. And the other, you know, family is
Flamengo. From Flamengo.
Flamengo. Okay, so these two teams, we think, what? You know, all right, all of a sudden there's tension in the family, and one family's realizing, you're dating somebody that's a fan of that team? And all of a sudden, grandma and grandpa get all upset because for 5 generations, we have been fans of the Corinthians.
That's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's not just a movie.
This is their religion, you know, in the secular world.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about things becoming more secular, which we can touch on. Talk about secular. This is the middle of Miami and Little Havana. We have a carnival, you know, people from all over Latin America, about 1 million dancing the streets and partying and everything else. And so we're trying to reach these people with the gospel of Christ. And, you know, we're trying to meet them where they're at. So understanding those deep-rooted cultural things. And, you know, my mom got so mad at me. She kicked me out of the house when I became a Christian because I was no longer going to be a Presbyterian. But it wasn't because I was no longer going to be a fan of the Corinthians, you know, the soccer team or the Miami Dolphins. So this whole concept is so embedded into their culture that it's something, you know, we think about the population like that and how are we going to reach them, you know. Mass media is what we have chosen to use as to help people from different places. And so if we look at Latin America, you know, where are they?
Well, globalization has really changed customs. When I first went to Brazil, girls didn't date guys, just go out and let's go watch a movie. You had to take a little brother, an aunt, or someone. If you went to their house, you know, you sat here and the father, the mother, the kids, the maid, the dog, and then that girl over here, you know. It was like, you know, and my daughter was probably the last of the generation that she, up until the night she got married, you know, she still had to have somebody with her until, you know, they got married. But now the kids, customs are like America. They actually go out on dates there and like they do here. When I first went for a year, well, until maybe 5 years ago, maybe at the very most, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, you wouldn't dare wear shorts in public. Now, they don't wear anything on the beach, but not just if you're just going out somewhere, you could be as hot as it could be, but everybody had to have, if you're going to wear pants, long pants. Now you go there and you can't look like American kids and they've got internet and movies.
Say Miami corrupted you guys?
Yes, Miami. It's all that Miami stuff, so. You know, customs have changed. There's still cultural differences, of course.
But internet has made a big impact. You know, globalization. And when I think about where we're reaching today, just with our website, over the last couple of years, year and a half, and that highway goes both ways. You think about the highway, the Roman highway, and how it was built and what it was built for. Well, it was built, you know, to conquer, you know, the world, and it was used by Satan in that way, but also look at the disciples of Paul. They spread the gospel because it was there much more rapidly. And here we are now with the internet, and globalization has taken place to the extent that you can see down here, there's 138 countries in the world that have visited our website in this past year. I mean, what does that mean? Where are the Spanish speakers? Our website is a Spanish-speaking website. Now, you can navigate it in English so you can help somebody come to Jesus that doesn't speak English. But, you know, 138 countries around the world coming in to get some content means to me that, wow, those El Salvadoreños, the Salvadoreños in Australia, which is a large community of El Salvadorians in Australia, are there. In Japan, there's a huge Peruvian community in Japan, so much so that a Japanese man used to be the president or prime minister of Japan, you know, a few years ago. So
Peru.
You know, and so here you see this globalization that's taken place. And so God's given us not only the radio, which we're reaching people, and now radio is driving people to the website. Gail Crow called me up and said, what kind of results did you have after we went on the air? We're on the air for a couple of days. And our website on that day took like another 30,000 hits. You know, how did that happen? It was right here on the radio. So you got one driving the other to the content, to where they can take the Bible study, to where they can learn more about Jesus. And most of those people responding probably are sitting there listening to shortwave radio, but they got their phone. And so you get that dual thing. So globalization is really changing the culture in many places, and we're seeing that in our own communities across the United States. We used to talk about Southern, you know, and Southern culture different than Northern culture. You know, and guess what? Everybody's starting to dress the same, do the same. Okay. So that's really addressing this.
One thing more secular also, at least in Brazil, I can speak about Brazil. Up until the late 80s, early 90s, the government even wouldn't do anything, make any decisions without looking over its shoulder and asking for approval from the Catholic Church. That's how much power they had. In the small cities, you know, you couldn't be a non-Catholic. But as of 1988, we got a new constitution, and now the government does whatever it wants to do. And like I said, divorce didn't even exist in Brazil until the new constitution, 1988. It's just become more secular. Used to be you'd had all these religious holidays. Now they've reduced them to minimum. You know, every ceremony, anything you would have a priest there to do something. So more and more people becoming more materialistic, more secular. But they're still, you know, still open, still looking for a relationship with God, whether they know it or not. It's not the same face.
So maybe you'll see in Latin America, you'll see commercial stations that are owned by the Catholic Church, but the message they have out there is very secular. You'll have a lot of entertainment and programs and everything. I ran into this in Chile when I was trying to get our TV program on the air through the television station that was owned by the Catholic Church. They said, well, why should we put your program on the air? You know, I mean, we don't even have any evangelical programs on the air. We're the Catholic Church. I said, well, because of Vatican II. You know, he said, it's okay now to open your Bibles in the home, and our program is all about the open Bible, and we have 26 programs on the family, and you want to promote the family, and, you know, let's get around the table, and they accepted the program. You know, so for 1 year in Chile, we're on the air, and the television station that was with the University of the Catholic Church.
Here in Brazil, the first television program we had out, a man who was ready to become a priest, he was finishing the seminary, he was going to be ordained a priest, saw the program, asked for the Bible correspondence courses, studied. He actually asked for the material to study against everything. He wanted to take it back to his Bible study group. There's a congregation there, about 80. And he became convinced of the truth, and he went to tell the congregation why he was leaving. He says, I know it sounds ridiculous, I'm a grown man, but I'm going to be baptized. You know, and they said, well, we want to be baptized too. So 80 people were baptized right away as a congregation, and that congregation is doing well today. You know, it's just, it's great. And they had a little, you know, children's, not really an orphanage, but a daycare for underprivileged kids, and they continued with that. And he's been to Cuba several times, yes. And stuff, but he had to leave. It was from a small town in Brazil at that time, and he had to leave the city because it was too dangerous for him to stay there. Mm-hmm. Years later, he was able to come back, but you know, that was that stronghold the Catholic Church had.
Yeah, and with getting through media, I mean, it's amazing what people's lives are touched if you have the right message. And so in Latin America, like in other Chile, we were on the number one station in Chile for a year. Missionaries worked there for 25 years faithfully. 9 churches were established in the Santiago area. We got on La Red, the Channel 4, the number one station in the country that was owned privately. We were on there in 1996, and after 1 year, and after doing follow-up up and down Chile, and that's quite a distance, all of a sudden, 21 churches are in Chile. You know, so had we not been using mass media, that would not have happened. And
I think traditionally in the Churches of Christ, we haven't utilized mass media as best we could, because we do believe in church congregational autonomy, but sometimes maybe we take that a little bit too far. You know, and everybody's kind of doing their own thing. Or if I don't agree with everything that you're doing or thinking or teaching or something, then you know, then I don't want any part of it. So, unfortunately, or then we've had, you know, there are examples of these televangelists, you know, Ernest Angelis and these people that, you know, it's just horrible things we see in the name of God, you know. So we've just kind of, we've had some things, a lot of maybe more local and more simple, but, you know, we've got everything. We've got, the church has money, we have talent, we just need to get together, you know.
Yeah, and work together with that. Well, what we try to do is to really maximize the talent of local you know, Latinos in their countries, and have a little video here show you what we're doing in Cuba right now, actually teaching them to do their own radio work, and we're giving them an avenue to get it out there on the internet and then all throughout Latin America. So this was a radio seminar I did in Cuba just last November, and we trained women. This one, we were training women how to do write for radio, record radio, use their laptop. They don't have laptops. They know people that do, a USB microphone. And so we have women, we have men, and we have young people, 3 different radio programs that are being produced. Look at these 60 women gathered together, learn how to do radio, young people learning how to do radio. And sorry, I got the Spanish subtitles, so I'm speaking through it. This is Jose Castillo. He works with me in Miami, and worked very closely there. They're taking those handwritten notes, come up with pieces that are culturally relevant to their society there. These are very hospitable people, as you can see. But, you know, here we are in Cuba, now producing radio programs. Does the government know that we're doing that? If they know, they're not saying. I just put it that way, okay? They know I have a radio program in broadcasting into Cuba every Sunday night. I'm sure of it. Met with the government just last week. They didn't bring it up, and neither did I. So we agree not to bring things up sometimes. But here, Alicia and her husband are recording there. And so we have the beautiful youth of Bella Vista have a program. And we have the Women of Hope. They have their program. And Heart to Heart, the men have their program. And guess what? They're all now on the website. For the very first time in a society, there was no free flow of information, are now have the potential audience of 138 countries of the world. Now, we don't announce, you know, here from Cuba, we have, you know, so-and-so. But they write it, they voice it, they cover the different topics. And, you know, when we look... You know, we want to share Jesus with Latinos. And how many know of any Spanish speakers in your neighborhood, in your community? You know, what can we do about that? You know, what can we do to share the gospel? And a good illustration is this young lady here. She was, from the time she was 10 years old, Doña Elise, went to church in Cuba. She'd go to the Church of Christ. She could never get her dad to even think about going to church. But she took one of our radio programs on a CD, La Voz Alegre, and she was pretty frustrated. I got a video of her giving the testimony of all this, and she just says, here, just listen to it while you're fixing the car. Got put in there, he's listening to it. Her and her husband, a little bit later, heads off to Baxter Institute in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, to study, to return as ministers there in Cuba. And how wonderful that is. She gets news 3 weeks after she gets to Honduras from her dad. I've just become a Christian. I was baptized. You know, that La Voz Alegre, that radio program, you know, just got to me, you know. And so sometimes we don't have, I mean, this wasn't a situation of the language skills, but it was a situation of a barrier. And sometimes we let language be a barrier. And I know, because I worked in a factory before I ever went off to school or did any mission work. I worked in a factory filled with Cubans in South Florida, kept Spanish tracts in my back pocket, 19 years old, passing them out at work. I was a foreman. I had guys that had fought in the Bay of Pigs in Cuba working under me. They were doctors, they were engineers and everything else doing, but we were sowing the seed. So I had a Bible in English. They had a Bible in Spanish, and we'd teach, like, you know, just read this verse. They asked, you know, and I could barely speak any Spanish at that point. And you know what? Some of them became Christians. Now, what we've got here is a toolbox for you guys. You can navigate it in English, and you can take Spanish speakers to content. All of our TV, all of our radio programs, you can say, listen to this, how to become a disciple of Jesus. Here's 13 programs. Here's a whole 26 programs on the family, you know, communication and everything else. And you can just let them use it, you know. So we want to give those skills. So here I go to Cuba to the men's conference just last week. And I'm with, guess who? Her father in Cuba, Ricardo here on the right, and her father-in-law at the preacher's conference. So within 2 years of listening to La Voz Alegre, he's preaching for a church with about 12 members. Okay? God is doing wonderful things, you know. And I'm saying, Ricardo walked up to me, you know, I'd never seen him before, and he walked up to me last week, and he just had tears running down his face, and he said, my daughter hadn't given me that CD of La Voz Alegre, I would not be here, I would not have been a Christian, you know. And so we don't know what God's going to do, how God's going to work, but he calls us to sow the seed and to share it in the best way that we know how. And, you know, Latin American people all over the world need to hear the gospel. And they can enroll in World Bible School right through the website, you know. And this website, he's got a website too, you know. Eventually, I'd love to see his content on my website where we can hit all of Latin America. But I'm not going to do the sales pitch here in front of the website. Let's see here. You want to take it?
One of the ways, you know, we'll talk a little bit about short-term missions, but one of the ways that right here in the United States you can help people, even if you can't speak Spanish or Portuguese, is you can offer free English classes. You know, a lot of churches will do that, and, you know, it just come on, maybe on a Wednesday night, and you'll sit down with one-on-one and just work through. You know, it's not the children. The children learn really quickly, but it's the older adults that need that help, and you can build a relationship, which is, you know, as important as anything. And that's one way to, you know, to be able to present the gospel to people. You know, it's just great. You can do it on fields or even here in the States. We've got people coming from all over the world now. Nashville, there's like 8,000 Sudanese, 10,000 Egyptians legally coming in as refugees. There's people to help, you know. So it's just there's a lot of opportunities. And he's going to share some websites too.
Well, let me just say this. We're talking about short-term missions, short-term groups going to Latin America. I've been on some of those trips, just kind of been there maybe negotiating with a television station, and I hook up with one of these groups that are going down there and some that we've worked very closely with. And they're building houses, and they're giving out food, and they're doing all of these things, but they're not doing anything to share the message of Jesus a lot of times. Yeah. You know, and it's all in the name of doing good. We want to be the hands and the voice of Jesus. And I think that's what these communities of Latin America needs. And so, you know, we're encouraging people. This is why I printed this up this way, that we'll send people to the website. And I'm saying, on the back of your literature, like in Nicaragua, in Jinoteca, they have it in their literature there, this little graphic, so that when groups come down there, they take it, they have it all ready, They're doing that kind of work. They're doing medical work or whatever they're doing. They're also giving them to these people, as poor as they may be, they'll have a smartphone. Never been on the internet with a computer, but they'll have a smartphone. And there they have access to the whole gospel, you know, of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you that if you know small groups going into Latin America, let them be in touch with us. We can send them this image. They can put it on whatever they need to. So we just want to encourage you with that. And let you close in a word of prayer. You want to say a few words? Or you just okay?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we praise your holy name and so grateful that through Jesus we can call you our Father and to know that our sins are forgiven and our names are written in the book of life, Father. And we're so grateful for the mission you've blessed us with, purpose in life, and certainly understanding of why we're here and where we came from and the importance of having and being at peace with you and certainly having that certainty of heaven. And thank you so much, Father, for every door that you've opened. We thank you so much, Father, for every blessing that we've received. We pray, Father, in the way that you best see fit, to use each and every one of us, Father, to share the gospel and to reflect the Spirit of Jesus with everyone we meet. We pray, Father, all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you.